ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। On this 12th day of January 2011 in Los Angeles, we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 2, Ajamil delivered by the Vishnu Dutas, text number 43. Hitva Kalevaram Tirthi Gangayam Darshanad Anu Sadhyah Swarupam Jagrihe Bhagavat Parshva Vartinam Hitva Kalevaram Tirte Gangayam Darshanaranu Sadhya Swarupam Jagrihe Bhagavat Parshva Vartinam Hitva Kalevaram Tirte Gangayam Darshanaranu Sadhya Swarupam Jagrihe Bhagavat Parshva Vartinam. Hitva Kalevaram Tirte Gangayam Darshanaranu Swarupam Jagrihe Bhagavat Parshvavartinam Hitva Kalevaram Tirte Gangayam Darshanaranu Satvarupam Jagrihe Ladies Hitva Kalevaram Tirte Gangayam Darshanaradu Sadhyak Swarupam Jagrihe Bhagavat Parshvavartinam Hitva Kalevaram Tirte Gangayam Darshanaranu Sadhyak Swarupam Jagrihe Bhagavat Parshvavartinam Hitva Giving up. Kalevaram, the material body. Tirte, in the holy place. Gangayam, on the bank of the Ganges. Darshanat Anu, after seeing. Sadhyaha, immediately. Swarupam, his original spiritual form. Jagrihe, he assumed. Bhagavat Parshvavartinam, which is fit for an associate of the Lord. Translation. Upon seeing the Vishnu Dutas, Ajamil gave up his material body at Hardwar on the bank of the Ganges. He regained his original spiritual body, which was a body appropriate for an associate of the Lord. Purport. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatpataha chaktva deham punar janma naiti mam eti sojana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. The result of perfection in Krishna consciousness is that after giving up one's material body, one is immediately transferred to the spiritual world in one's original spiritual body. to become an associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Some devotees go to Vaikuntha Loka, and others go to Goloka Vrindavan to become associates of Krishna. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmidatam Mena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisance unto him and to all members of Sri Parampara. So since this subject has come up of the Siddhadeya, or the perfected body, I thought I'd read this passage from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 8, in the talks between Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya, in which this subject of Siddhadeya is dealt with. Srila Prabhupada has a nice purport here. So this is text 229 of chapter 8. Siddhadehi chinti kare tahani sevan sakhi bhave paya radha krishna racharan. After thinking of Radha and Krishna and their pastimes for a long time, and after getting completely free from material contamination, one is transferred to the spiritual world. There the devotee attains an opportunity to serve Radha and Krishna as one of the gopis. Purport. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments that the word Siddhadeha, perfected spiritual body, refers to a body beyond the material, gross body, composed of five elements, and the subtle astral body, composed of mind, intelligence, and false ego. In other words, one attains a completely spiritual body fit to render service to the transcendental couple Radha and Krishna. Sarva padi vinumuktam tatpadatvena nirmalam. When one is situated in his spiritual body, which is beyond this gross and subtle material body, he is fit to serve Radha and Krishna. That body is called Siddha Deha. The living entity attains a particular type of gross body in accordance with his past activities and mental condition. In this life, the mental condition changes in different ways, and the same living entity gets another body in the next life according to his desires. The mind, intelligence, and false ego are always engaged in an attempt to dominate material nature. According to that subtle astral body, one attains a gross body to enjoy the objects of one's desires. According to the activities of the present body, one prepares another subtle body, and according to the subtle body, one attains another gross body. This is the process of material existence. However, when one is spiritually situated and does not desire a gross or subtle body, he attains his original spiritual body, as confirmed by the Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Chakva Deham Puna Janma Naiti Mameti Sojana. This is the same verse Prabhupada quoted in the sixth canon. One is elevated to the spiritual world by the spiritual body and is situated either in Goloka Vrindavan or in another Vaikuntha planet. In the spiritual body, there are no longer material desires, and one is fully satisfied by rendering service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Radha and Krishna. This is the platform of bhakti, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhaktir Uchite. When the spiritual body, mind, and senses are completely purified, one can render service to the Supreme Lord and his consort. In Vaikuntha, the consort is Lakshmi, and in Goloka Vrindavan, the consort is Srimati Radharani. In the spiritual body, free from material contamination, one can serve Radha Krishna and Lakshmi Narayan. When one is thus spiritually situated, he no longer thinks of his own personal sense gratification. This spiritual body is called Siddhadeya, the body by which one can render transcendental service unto Radha and Krishna. The process is that of engaging the transcendental senses in loving devotional service. This verse specifically mentions Sakhi Bhave Pai Radha Krishna Racharan. Only transcendentally elevated persons in the mood of the gopis can engage in the service of the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. So, just to review, this pastime of Ajamil. Now, one of the most significant things of this pastime is that Ajamil was coming from a platform of great degradation. And he had been a Brahmin, but he became degraded due to bad association and losing control of his senses. He lost control of his senses and mind, and he married the prostitute, and from there, downward spiral. He became a thief and no account, and by the association of the prostitute, it mentions that by eating the food cooked by the prostitute, that was also very contaminating. So for his whole life, he was sinful. Yet he had the good sense to name his children after Krishna, different names. And the youngest was named Narayan, we know the story. And at the moment of death, when he saw the Yamadutas coming in their fierce and frightening form to rip him out of his body, he cried out, Narayan, meaning his son. But because he did so offenselessly, he wasn't trying to sin on the strength of chanting or anything like that. The Vishnudutas immediately came and saved him. But he wasn't finished then. He had a lot more purification to undergo, but he was chastened, to say the least, and reformed at that very moment. He heard the conversation between the Vishnudutas and the Yamadutas. He deeply and profoundly regretted his sinful activities. And so then he immediately went off to Hardwar for continued purification. And the culmination of that purification process in Hardwar, assuming he was chanting the holy name, performing other processes of bhakti, is seen here in this verse. He has achieved his perfected body, the Siddha Deha, and now he's climbing onto the transcendental airplane and going back to Vaikuntha. The same Vishnudutas have come to take him back. Notice the contrast, just by a little aside, between the description in the third canto that Lord Kapiladev gives of the materialist leaving his body. How he's, as Ajamil experienced earlier, so frightened and desperate and then being dragged out and taken on the road to hell. Yet there's no mention here that Ajamil was at all frightened at this point. There's no fear, there's no anxiety. He's simply giving up his old coat, entering into the airplane and going back to Godhead, in this case, Vaikuntha Loka. So in this passage from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which of course is, again, the end of a long chapter, the explanation of the Siddha Deha is given. Now, the understanding is that we all have this Siddha Deha. Every living entity has this perfect body composed completely of spirit, spiritual senses, spiritual mind, spiritual ego, everything spiritual, in order to serve the Lord in a specific mood. This phrase, form follows function. So in this case, the function is our specific individual mood of service and desire to serve Krishna or Vishnu in a certain way. And we have that body, but we've forgotten it. It's lost. It's buried under this double covering of the gross and subtle body, here called the astral body in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And it's that gross and subtle body that keeps us anchored to this material world and covers our knowledge of Krishna, of our own function, our own form, our sarup in the spiritual world. And so what can we do? Well, we can't do anything on our own because we're completely ignorant. We're helpless. But by the mercy of the Lord, he comes personally, incarnates as Krishna, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as so many other avatars, in order to teach us, in order to somehow inject in the dark consciousness of the conditioned souls, this knowledge, this awareness that this isn't all there is. That material struggling, birth, old age, disease, and death, the fear, the anxiety, the helplessness, all that goes with material life, is not all there is. This isn't our real home. And that there's this other whole world, a whole world in which everyone is happy forever. Everyone is immersed in this blissful ocean of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So to get from here to there, what tools can we use? What method can we use? Well, we need a method by which we can use this very body, this very gross and subtle body, to somehow purify the gross and subtle body and eventually give it up so that we're situated in our spiritual body. And that process is bhakti yoga, vaidhi bhakti. I happened to read on an ISKCON news site, believe it or not, an article by some yoga practitioner who was berating the spread of this, you know, hatha yoga everywhere. Everyone is thinking that yoga means simply getting a very peaceful or very calm body and a clear mind and a healthy body and so forth. Saying this isn't what yoga means at all. That yoga really means asceticism. It really means denial of the material body. And, you know, joining with the Supreme, getting rid of the ego, getting rid of the self. This is on an ISKCON site. So, it means getting rid of the material body and the material mind, but it doesn't mean getting rid of the ego, the self. It means purification of the self, purification of the false ego, so that we're situated in real ego. And that's why this word swarup is so important, because as soon as you have a rupa, as soon as you have a form, then you have senses, then you have activities, then you have everything. This whole idea that the absolute is without form is, you know, the great battle between the personalist and the impersonalist. And Bhagavatam is very clear, Krishna is very clear in the Bhagavad Gita, that the ultimate perfection is personal. We can remain as persons and to serve the personality of God, who is complete with name, form, qualities, activities, place, associates, everything we have here, but in the pure spiritual form. So this, now this passage, of course, in Ramananda, the conversation between Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya, it's very important for us. So much of, the writings of the Goswamis and, you know, deals with the same themes here. And Lord Chaitanya is taking the position of the, student in these conversations. Ramananda Roy protests, so how can I teach you? You're great, you know, you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know everything, you're Nima. And, Lord Chaitanya encourages him. He said, you know, Kiba Viprakima Nyasi Shuddhakeni No Ye Krishna Tattvavedi Se Guru Hoy. That it doesn't matter whether one is a sannyasi or a shudra or anybody. If you know the science of Krishna, you can teach and you can become a guru. But one has to know it in truth. So Ramananda Roy was supremely realized, even though he was kind of a functionary in the government of King Prataparudra, but he was at the highest stage, and therefore Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya recommended Lord Chaitanya visit him in South India, and he did so. So we're not going to get into this very important chapter, it's not time. But the summary is that Ramananda Roy went one after another, gradually reaching up to the explanation of the highest levels of prema bhakti in the mood of the gopis. And that's why this siddhadeya is mentioned here, that one thinks of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna for a long time and develops the siddhadeya, which we understand means develops our awareness of the siddhadeya that already exists. And when it's completely purified of what? Purified of, you know, to summarize it, kama, desire for sense gratification, gross or subtle. Profit, adoration, distinction, these are subtle desires that are even more difficult to give up than the gross ones. The desire for fame, you know, you become famous as a great devotee. Famous is most humble and austere, you know. And if you get intoxicated by that fame, then that's a huge attachment. We've seen it. So all of, when the last vestiges, you know, of these impurities are gone, then one is situated in one's siddhadeya. Even in this body, it's described how the great devotees like Srila Prabhupada, you live on two planes. You know, externally with the senses, they're interacting and doing all the things that we saw him do, but internally, he's forever, 24 hours a day, serving Radha and Krishna with the perfected form. Prabhupada never deigned to reveal exactly what that form was, but we know that he was in that siddhadeya form. So this is the perfection of Krishna consciousness on a personal level. Now what we're trying to do as a Sankirtan movement is to try to give people at least the first step, to take the first step in this direction. To open up the door, you know, By exposing them to Srila Prabhupada's books, the holy name, the prasadam, the temple, so many ways to try to inject in this ignorant mind of the conditioned soul, that there is another life. There is a perfection of life. There is a perfect body, a perfect world, a kind of life that is not fraught with all of the dangers and disappointments that material life is. And once one starts on that path, when he comes in touch with the genuine scripture, the genuine sadhus, the genuine gurus or teachers, one has a chance to break free of that strong curtain of Maya that's keeping us in ignorance. So for ourselves, we should read these things, because this is a great encouragement for becoming serious in devotional service. What keeps us anchored? What keeps us here? Slows our progress in devotional service? It's no mystery. We can read the Upadeshamrita. We can see how over-collecting, overeating, desiring material things, nonsense talk, association with materialists, that all affects the mind, the subtle body that's speaking in. And it delays the time when we can really attain that siddhadeya. So we should be aware of what our mind is doing at all times. What are we actually thinking about? We know that, you know, the great meditation that we perform every morning with those rounds of Hare Krishna. So the sadhana, the practice, is to actually hear, you know, every name perfectly. To be absorbed, to have the mind absorbed in the sound of the holy name. Sometimes, you know, the mind is going off. I like to use it, you know, we have this idea of the train of thought, right? In Sanskrit, monorata, this chariot of the mind. So the mind, because of so many lifetimes of absorption in material things, this material mind is habituated. It's very powerful. Arjuna compares it to the powerful wind. You know, how can you stop the wind, you know? So it's very strong. And yet we have the tools by which we can curb that mind. And you know, the main tool is this hearing and chanting. Hearing and chanting the holy name, and these so many wonderful vibrations Srila Prabhupada has given us in the form of these books. You know, if you sit down and you read any of the books of Srila Prabhupada, especially if you're with someone else, you know, the mind, at least for that time, is controlled. We need to take advantage of these tools that we have. The temple is a wonderful blessing. Srila Prabhupada works so hard. As soon as you walk in and see the beautiful form of Rukmini Dwarkati, Skoranatai, Jagannath Baladev, Subhadraji, the mind is on Krishna then. Of course, you can fight that. Your mind can be a million miles away. But it's by nature attractive. The form is attractive. The fragrance is attractive. Everything is attractive. The sound, the words, all the senses are meant to be engaged and pulled toward Krishna in this way. But it takes our willingness to expose ourselves to it. It takes faith in the process. And the hard part is when the mind is doing its thing, taking us away from Krishna, we don't feel enlivened, we don't feel like doing our duties, we don't feel that we do them anyway. That we have the presence of mind to accept as a discipline, the processes that we know, we have faith in from the experience, from hearing and seeing others are going to work. That's the hard part. If we allow the mind again to get infected with these material thoughts and material desires, then at one point we'll leave the association, which is the greatest danger in devotional service. So this brings to mind, because this idea of Sangha is so important, the mind takes on the coloring, if you will, of whatever it associates with. That's why Sangha association is so important. So let's see if I can remember this verse. This is a very nice verse at the end of the 12th chapter, 5th canto, I believe, in which Jadabhart is teaching King Rahuguna. And it's all about the mind. So he says, Tasman naro sangha susangha jata Gyanasinane vivriknamoha hadinta diha shavana katabhyam. I forget the last line, but I think I know what it means. So what he's saying there, therefore by sangha, Susanga and asanga. There's two things. One has to come together with the devotees and give up the bad association. This is very much part of the Upadeshamrita, the first couple of verses. Susanga, tasmad, asanga, susanga, jata, ganasina. One develops the sword of knowledge by which one can cut off moha, vivrikna moha, the bondage and the covering of illusion. And then, hadin tadiha katana shuddhabhyam, lebe gatim. No. Dude Karma knows this first. Labdas matir, labdas matim, yat utipadam vadvana. That's it. So one regains one's memory of the Siddhadeya. One regains one's memory of Krishna and your relation to Krishna and the world of Krishna and the associate. Everything is regained. In other words, it's already there and buried, but we've been gone for so long, we forgot it. So, labdha smriti, yat atipana madhuna, and one proceeds nicely on the path back to Godhead. So that third line, hading tad iha katana shuddhab. Iha means the activities, name, form, qualities, pastimes. So by good association, by taking advantage of good association, and by carefully abjuring bad association, one sharpens his transcendental knowledge. It's like here, this is so important, the Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, Nityam Bhagavata Sevya. Regularly attending Srimad Bhagavatam class. That was Prabhupada's translation of the verse. And serving the pure devotee. There's two Bhagavats, we know that. Why? Because you developed that sword of knowledge to cut off the illusion. And then what happens? You're enlightened. You know, enlightened about the path of devotion and gradually enlighten more and more about Krishna. And one regains one's memory, labdha smriti, and proceeds nicely on the path back to Godhead. So this is the way in which we can develop our own siddha-deha. We all have it, but we can discover it. Atakshi Krishna namari navave grayam indriyai. With our present senses, we can't really grasp or understand the name, qualities, forms of Krishna. But isn't it wonderful that just by beginning the service, Seval Mukhi, beginning with the tongue, chanting Hare Krishna, tasting prasadam, eventually the senses become purified and Krishna reveals himself. Krishna is very proactive in this whole process. He's not just sitting there in Goloka Vrindavan enjoying, waiting, you know, for someone to come back there. He's very much active. He's within everyone's heart, helping. I'm hearing these wonderful lectures from Srila Prabhupada every morning. On especially the verses Srinvatam Sukata Krishna, Pundishavana Kirtana, and culminating five verses later in Vidyate Vidya Gruntis. And wonderful classes, one of them he gave in L.A. You know, Prabhupada has a little different mood in L.A. At that time, L.A. was, of course, the main center in the West. And because here he's speaking to devotees, and there are a good number of devotees filling this room who are seriously trying to practice Krishna consciousness. I mean, he's giving the same kind of lecture in India, because he would go to India and then continue on in the first canto. He's speaking to a lot of people who are not, maybe his devotees are there, of course, with small band, but there are many who haven't even seriously committed. So he has a little different mood. So here is in L.A., and he's saying how Krishna is in the heart. He uses the term. Krishna is nominative case. He says those words in the Srinvatam. So Krishna is the subject there. He cleanses from the heart when he sees that his honest devotees, he's the best friend, Suridam, are hearing and chanting. Srinvatam Sukata Krishna Punya Shavana Kirtana. So we have such an abundance of subject matter for hearing and chanting. Beginning with the holy name, of course. And if we seriously take it, then Krishna will get rid of these abhudras and gradually become purified of the lower modes of nature and kama and lust and anger that go with them and become fixed in goodness. And, when those are almost done, it doesn't have to be complete. Complete purification is difficult. But at least a large part are purified. Then you get fixed in bhakti, you become free of lower modes of nature, and then you become joyful. Prabhupada said, if you're not joyful in Krishna consciousness, you're in maya. If you see someone who's morose, he says, they're not tasting Krishna consciousness. He's saying this. Because evam prasanna manasa, bhagavad bhakti yogada. And then bhagavad tattva vigyan. This word tattva is very important. In truth, one understands, in vigyana, scientific knowledge. In other words, the scientists want to see, you know, the direct perception. They get direct perception. Mukta sangha sajja. And then mukta sangha, free of all bad association. You're liberated. And then the summary verse is very nice. Biddhate vidya grantis. All of these knots in the heart. The heart is the consciousness. All of these impurities, attachments, fears, cut off. All one's doubts completely eradicated. Because once you get, you know, scientific knowledge, if Krishna walks in the door here and you see him, is there any doubt? You're going to doubt that Krishna exists? This is the point. That's what he said. All doubts are eliminated. All karma is wiped away. And one sees Krishna in the heart. Always. This is the beginning with Srinivadnam Sukhata Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada, you know, he had great hope for his disciples. He wasn't saying, maybe in 100 births you can do this. He was saying, go for it. Complete your process in this one lifetime. You know, so if Srila Prabhupada had that kind of confidence or faith or encouragement for us, I mean, we should try to meet him. You know, try to do the process as seriously as possible. You know, we can try as far as we can, seriously. And after all, let's face it, you know, objectively speaking, if it takes a few more births, what's that in all the trillions of births we've had in this lifetime? So this is the, you know, what we get. And we see Ajamil by the chanting of the holy name, so merciful. The holy name has descended, you know, in this age as an avatar. And just by chanting once, even, you know, indifferently or for something else, he was liberated. He was free of all these sins, and then he, you know, took up the process and became perfect. So this story is really important for us. We have some hope also. Any questions or comments? I'm sorry, I'm a few minutes over time, according to this sign here. Yadav Prabhu. Yeah.
How do we continue through all those different stages and not get stuck in one particular stage?
Well, the easy answer is by associating with someone who's at a higher stage. If you're struggling with an artinavritti and you see a devotee who's nicely fixed in devotional service, then try to associate and try to pick up that mood. You know, in other words, you're on an artinavritti, someone's on nishta, which is an advanced platform. And then we need to try to associate with those persons. And when you see that there is someone who really has a taste, you know, for hearing, chanting and serving and preaching, then that's the person you try to pick up the mood, try to associate with. And it's a question of it's strengthening the will. It's also, which means strengthening the intelligence. The only advantage we have over the animals is that we have this intelligence, big brain. And if it's used simply for serving the lower self, then it's a total waste of human life, and we'll probably lose the human life. So by the intelligence, by purifying the intelligence through reading the Shastra, discussing, you know, one gets the determination to overcome barriers that may have come, you know, in one's devotional life. Another means is to, you know, you're talking about trying to get a breakthrough. You know, you've been like kind of treading water for months or years in one situation, at one level on that ladder from faith to pray. And these festivals, you know, Prabhupada wanted us to go to Mayapur, breakthrough. In other words, there's a special event which calls upon you for more service, and you get swept up in, you know, like Rath Yatra every year is great. There's so much extra service to do, you know, then there's the festival itself. Everyone gets a chance to preach or chanting. By throwing oneself and really getting serious about those festivals, and this is recommended in the 11th canto, one can often break through barriers. Ekadashi is meant to be a time, you know, when you do extra austerities, you do extra hearing and chanting, and you move to a different level. So those are some of the ways. The main way on a daily basis is by searching out those devotees who exemplify a higher level and associating and serving them. That's a nice way. Nakamabu?
Thank you very much, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
On one Sunday lecture, Srila Prabhupada was discussing this point about developing determination in devotional service. And he mentioned the weakness of the heart. So my question is, how do we avoid weakness in heart so that we can develop this determination in devotional service?
Yes, that you may remember that comes up in the Bhagavad Gita when Krishna is speaking to Arjuna. Ridya Daubalyam, give up this Chakvotishva Paranda, get up and fight. I knew a devotee, a Sankirtan devotee, who joined in San Diego many years ago. And, you know, in order to get himself fired up to go out, he would read that verse. Chakto, you know, get up and fight, you know, because there's a battle out there. So, the weakness of heart, you know, comes due to offenses. It comes due to association with the modes of nature. And we need to introspect. We need to analyze according to the scripture. The Upadeshamrita is great, you know, because if you follow the second and third verse, you know, you can give up those things. Okay. It's true. Yeah. Too much prajalpa. Okay. From today forward, I'm going to cut down on prajalpa. Let me cut down. You know, you go through the list. And then as far as utsahan, yeah, you know, I haven't been so enthusiastic. Let me try to dance in Artigue. Let me show up, you know, first, and let me actually dance. And one thing leads to another. In other words, my feeling, and I think I'm authorizing this, is that the beating heart, kind of the engine, you know, by which we can actually enter into bhakti, is kirtan. Especially Harinam Sankirtan. Because even if someone isn't enthusiastic, you get swept up in it. You know, or it kind of automatically happens. It's the yuga, the dharma of the age. And one thing leads to another. We've seen this. If you chant good rounds one day, you have a night, there's a nice kirtan, you get into it, you'll be more fired up, you'll be more enthusiastic to do all your other services. Because it's the heart, after all. It's your consciousness. It's not, you know. So the weakness of heart comes from kind of getting into a funk, you know, of not doing, and developing bad habits and getting, you know. And if you're not doing the process of devotional service well, then that cloud, you know, of distress and depression or anything can easily take over. And it's a syndrome. You know, you generally speaking, you isolate yourself. You know, even in a dom like this, you can isolate yourself. You're not, you know, and it's Maya's trick. You know, one thing leads to another. So one needs to take shelter. One needs to really decide again to come into the association and again associate with, take part in the kirtans, And that blows off so much illusion and maya. Because the kirtan rasa, the mellow of kirtan, is really nothing but what we're reading here. You know, this is what's going on in Goloka Vrindavan. The highly enthusiastic, emotional service of Krishna at every moment. You know, this is the example. Goloka the Pramita, Harinama Sankirtan. That's all I can do for now. Hey, one more. Go ahead, Arjun.
Some current ISKCON, I'm not going to name any names, but has written a book where, due to his association with the leaders of the Radharaman temple, he said they say it should be the Brahma Madhva Chaitanya Sampradaya, because Gaudiya refers to a place, and Vaishnavas are beyond place, and this is a mistake. So if you start taking that kind of association, inevitably it sows a seed of doubt in your mind about things that Prabhupada said. And you cannot be a bona fide, heartfelt member of ISKCON if you're not completely attached to everything that Prabhupada said. If you start bringing in things that other people said, it's like trying to be a Christian and start doubting Christ. You know, it just doesn't work. So we really have to be very careful about who we associate with, the quality of that association, and every day, the first person we should associate it with and the last person is Srila Prabhupada. Because if you start doubting Prabhupada, I've seen it so many times. The younger devotees, but even devotees of our own generation. If you start doubting things that Prabhupada said, you're lost. You're gone. You might as well start your own sampradaya because you're not going to feel comfortable.
Thank you for that. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Hare Prabhupada.